Good morning, everyone. This is Smashy Business Show. I'm Warit Ahmed.
And I'm Abdul Majid.
And it is the 24th of January today. Happy Friday to you all. Woo! The weekend is here.
Okay, bye. Going for the weekend.
Yeah,
bye.
The weekend is here. But how are you, Majid? How are
good.
You doing? How's this
all
morning
good.
Going?
Thankfully, weekend is here. That's all I have to say on Friday.
You know, it's one of those that I never thought I would reach. Like the end of. I really did not. Like, I remember it was just like yesterday, Majid, on Monday, where I was telling you, like, why are Mondays so annoying? I remember it. And it's like, we're here now. We're at Friday. It's the end of the week. Like, the month has gone fast.
Yeah.
You weren't wrong whatsoever.
Yeah.
But you know what I've been thinking about lately, Majid? So, you know, just recently, Donald Trump, during his inauguration, he announced this $400 billion Stargate project in collaboration with...
500.
Has it gone up?
I know. The Stargate project is $500 billion.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
He's announced this $500 billion Stargate project in collaboration with OpenAI, Oracle, Microsoft, and it's even being backed by UAE-based, Abu Dhabi-based MGX as an investment partner. And you know what this got me thinking about? It's like, it was also backed by Oracle too. And what this got me thinking about is, I was telling Majid this story yesterday of, you know, somebody that I know, I'm not gonna say their name, but they work for Oracle here. And I was telling Majid their really special story. And their story, like, it touches my heart because of the fact that they were one of the lottery winners who went to the USA. And now they live here in the UAE. And by the way, you know that Trump canceled the lottery? It's gone.
He's doing so much stuff.
It's gone. It's gone. But
he's
this
canceling
is
birthright citizenship. He's canceled so many things. He's
so signed, many like, things.
Now it's up to like 60 executive orders that he's signed. So yeah,
it's absolutely crazy.
Trump being Trump.
But back to the story of how you know they took out the lottery. So basically, this person I was telling Majid, you know, this person, you know, once he was once 18, 19 years old in Sudan, sitting at the curb walk. This is how he describes it, by the way. I was sitting at the curb walk, and suddenly I got accepted into the USA lottery, and immediately I packed up everything. I packed up everything, and my mom was like, "Get in your flight immediately." And he went to the USA. And he told me what ended up happening to him is that he was cleaning every single dish in a hotel for like 6 months. And he was the only one doing it. And he didn't know a lick of English. Not even anything, Majid, like nothing. And he said that, you know, he moved from the hotel, then he started working as, what's it called? He started working in a supermarket, and he kept going from job to job. And at that point, he didn't have any money. So he actually got high blood pressure from eating canned foods, like old canned food, like beans, all that stuff that people would like throw in the trash can. He'd take it and he'd eat it. So he got high blood pressure. But point is, he kept working hard. You know, he kept hustling. And what happened at some point, he went to community college. And then right after that, he got into university. And then at some point, he was working as a security guard. And you know what he said, by the way, when he was a security guard? Basically, there's a number of rounds that you have to do. And there's like a track. There's a track that counts it when you're going around. So he said he'd do it. And when like nobody's watching, by the way, he'd like study. That's how he'd study. He'd like look around, nobody's watching, he'd go back to studying. So like being a security guard was perfect for him because it allowed him to study. And what ended up happening is he got an internship at IBM. And then after IBM, he started working for IBM, and then he came to the UAE, and that's when he started working for Oracle. But I just find it, and by the way, if you hear him now, Majid, you would not even know that he's from Sudan. You really wouldn't know. You'd think like, you know, USA, but it was just so interesting to me, the entire story in itself, because what we're seeing happening now is that, you know, people are building their lives elsewhere in the West, and they're coming to the UAE. You know, they're coming here. I think that's what really touched me because of the fact that people used to study here and go to the West. But what's happening is that people are moving out of there. You know, they're coming here, they're setting base here.
The main thing is he hustled.
He did. Yeah. That really is. His story is so inspiring.
You just have to wait for your opportunity. That's what I've realized. Just wait for your opportunity. It will come. Sometimes late, sometimes early, but it will come.
Yeah.
That's the lesson.
That is what I'm waiting for, hopefully, you know, one day. But for our topics for today, back to Trump again. So Trump actually went on the World Economic Forum in Davos in Switzerland and announced that and announced and requested for $1 trillion from Saudi Arabia. Now, what essentially happened is that in 2016, Trump chose Saudi Arabia as his first foreign visit because he was offered $450 billion by King Suleiman. However, what happened now is that he requested that $450 billion, but then King Suleiman called him and said, okay, I'll give you over $600 billion. But now he's asking for a trillion. You know, he has no shame. No, really, he has no shame. You know, what's it called in Arabic culture, Majid? There's this thing where it's like ana bakhjal. Do you know what I mean? Like I'm like ana bakhjal and no, I ask for more. We always say that, like, this is something that was like, it's really deep rooted in our culture. Like, don't ask for more, you know? Like, it's, don't take from the hand that feeds you. Don't take that much. But it's just, man, he has no shame. He really has no shame.
Thing is that he is a businessman at its core. That's what's been said about him.
Yeah.
And he realized that he asked for 450 to 500. He got 600. So I was like, okay, let's bargain more.
Let's keep going.
So he was speaking at Davos again. Everything is happening at Davos, Switzerland, at the World Economic Forum nowadays. Every minister, every finance minister, economy minister from Saudi, UAE, the world, everyone's there. So yeah, he took the opportunity. It's like, okay, they are promising 600. I would like 1 trillion. The most interesting thing that I find in that is, it's 1 trillion is the worth of sovereign wealth fund, that is PIF. PIF is nearly 985 billion, nearly 1 trillion in assets under management. So he's basically asking them to
for
give
all
him,
their money.
Yeah, not all their money, just give me the PIF, all the money that PIF makes. But let's see what happens. Eventually, see, last time he came, the first 2 weeks were all Trump. He was doing the same thing that he's doing, executive orders, this, that, stop this, do this. Mm. So this time around, he's also doing this. This time the things are different. That's the only difference that I see. But after the storm will like stop, like, oh, he's the new president. And there's normalcy in the environment. Yeah. Then we'll actually see what happens. Mm. Because he's doing so much. Everywhere you see, there's Trump. Even on our timelines, every story that we do, like, if you do 10, 3 stories are about Trump at least.
Of course. Yeah. I think he has a really strong foothold over the Middle East. But really what I want to discuss with you, Majid, is that, you know, you mentioned how right now the World Economic Forum in Davos in Switzerland, it's the hot topic.
Yeah.
But, you know, not only is, you know, Abdullah Al-Marri, the UAE Minister of Economy there, it's actually also, you know, the really successful food businesses in the UAE. What we actually saw in 2024 is that for the World Economic Forum, you know, Hind Al-Mulla was there, the founder of Home Bakery. Yeah, she went and she made so many videos and she was like, this is that, this is this. Yeah. She was at the Emirati Pavilion at the at the forum. And it's like, you know, for 2024, that's probably when, you know, her business boomed even more and more, and the UAE recognized that for her. I mean, recognized that for her. And then this year, who are we seeing being recognized? Sarah Hamouda, the founder of Fixed Dessert Chocolatier, the infamous Dubai chocolate. She's being recognized for it, and she's being recognized by the fact that they're selling fixed chocolate at the world, and they're not selling it, they're actually giving it for free at the World Economic Forum, but there are some fakes that are being sold there for 15 euros. But it's so beautiful, it's so amazing to see. You know, before we saw how, you know, Sheikh Hamdan supported her by doing a collaboration with her over a halwa fixed dessert. But even more so than this, you know what it got me thinking, Majid? Honestly, I was a part of the people who were complaining about how kunafa is in everything. I won't say, I still am. It's in everything now. It's in croissants. It's in ice cream. It's in It's in cake. Are you seeing Bilaban? What's it called? Flaky pastry. All of these shops, by the way, everything has kunafa now. Yeah. But you know what it got me thinking about? I think that there's a deeper message here that's happening that I feel like we're not even aware of because of the fact that kunafa, you know, some believe that it originated in Nablus in Palestine. Some believe that it's Syria, Lebanon, Turkey, Egypt. But the point to me here is that, like, Majid, like, you know, the West is celebrating our culture. They're eating our food. And it's like, and that's what I find so beautiful. Like, it, and I find it so ironic too, even for the people in other parts of the world who, you know, maybe they don't support Palestine, but what? They're trying out the Dubai chocolate. You're trying out the kunafa, which is such a huge part of Palestinian culture. Yeah. And you know, this is something that I'm extremely jealous of, Majid. I actually really want to visit Syria or Palestine to go eat kunafa. And I mean it. No, really, I mean it. And it's like, I was even speaking to my grandmother. She actually went to Damascus for her honeymoon back in the days. And she told me that word, if you taste the kunafa that's there, the kunafa that they have. So it's just, it's beautiful to see Middle Eastern culture being celebrated. What do you think about it?
The main thing is Middle East has a lot of money right now. Trust me, I don't think it's that we're winning a cultural war against the world. Like, there was European and Western supremacy for a long, long, like, nearly 100 years. All the things that they did, we followed. But it was because economically, they were the superpower. So whatever they did became the normal trend, and we would go to the... Like, even now, people love French this and Italian that. It's become like a part of every culture. To do it is to be cool, to be honest. That's the simplest I can say. But now with Middle East becoming a biggest superpower in the world with the money that they have and the money they've invested and they've gotten returns on, everyone wants to know about Middle East. And what is the main important thing about any culture? Food.
Yeah.
So this Dubai chocolate being famous, it's a very like perfect time that Sara Hamouda started it, because it's like Middle East is going up, then this chocolate came up, and everyone who comes here, we've seen in Dubai.
And it's good. Yeah, it's
people
really
who
good.
People come from all over the world, they don't want to try a French restaurant in the UAE. They actually want to go to a local place and try the local food. All those places that we have in Dubai, which are like foreign established and they've opened a branch here, those are for the locals here who live here and someone like, I want... ever want to go to France, but if I want to taste something, I have a French bakery. If I want to try the Italian pizza, I remember one day we got like the OG Italian pizza in the UAE in our office. I tried it, didn't like it much. But again, the idea is that the local economy, the local culture, the local cultural capital, I would say, that
capital.
Not the capital like in the sense of capital, but the money that you can make by using cultural things like food, clothing, everything, all these things. That is also growing with the money that they're making.
Yeah, but
so the Middle East, basically everyone wants to know how they're making their money. But with that, they're also like getting into other things like, oh, how do they live? How do they do this? What's their family structure? What's their culture? What do they eat? What do they drink? So yeah. That's the main idea.
I just, for me, like the way that I look at it, it's because of the fact, like, okay, for example, if you take like Indian food into consideration, I've seen people be very racist towards Indians, but then what will they order? What they like to always call it, Indian food. No, they don't even call it that. They go like Indian food. Let's get Indian takeout tonight. But then they'll be racist toward Indians. You know, it's just really interesting to me this like link of kunafa, because of the fact that, you know, we see some people not realizing, you know, the cause in Palestine, but then they're the same people that like kunafa in their food. You know, and it just brings me to this point of like, it's so important to know origins, and it's so important to know where things are from, because when you take a look at people's behavior and you see the way that they're acting and you really sit there, you're like, the irony in this situation is just completely hilarious. But Sara Hamouda herself, like what she's done, it's insane, Majid. Yeah. Sara Hamouda is actually Egyptian-British, and she actually made the chocolate for her pregnancy cravings. And you know that she had no culinary experience whatsoever. I think that's what shocks me the most. Like, you had no experience and this is something that you put together. And by the way, I've tried the dupes. I've tried a lot of the dupes. I've tried the one that Ibrahim made, Ibrahim from Dubai Bling, the Forever Rose. Forever Rose. Why do you call him Blooming Man from Instagram?
That's his handle. That's what she's famous for. I always forget Ibrahim al-Samadi. I always remember Blooming Man.
Yeah, but
it's like the first thing that comes to my mind when I think of him.
I tried the dupes, Majid, and let me tell you, hers is the best. Yeah. Anyways, moving on to our second topic for the day. Saudi Prince Al-Waleed bin Talal's Kingdom Holding Company has actually expressed interest in purchasing TikTok if it is acquired by Elon Musk or another prominent buyer. I find this really interesting.
Yeah, he's investing in Musk.
Yeah, he's not investing in TikTok.
The CEO of KHC was, again, at Davos, and he was asked a question about it, that would you guys be interested in TikTok if it's up for sale? And he said, yeah, obviously, if someone buys it, like, it's the same story that happened to X when Musk wanted to buy X, Kingdom Holding invested nearly $2 billion at that point, and they got a share out of it. So this is the same story.
Not many people know that, by the way.
About
Saudi Prince Al-Waleed
everyone,
bin Talal investing
you will
in
always have, in any takeover, in any investment, you'll have always have a face in front. Like, no one knows about the chef who made Fix Chocolate. Very less people knows. Everyone knows Sara Amuda. No one knows about
That's
the engineers
true.
Behind Apple. Everyone knows Steve Jobs. No one knows about Microsoft guys apart from Bill Gates. So it's always there. I don't know what it is. It's kind of a thing that happens in the world.
Every brand has a face.
People attach something. For example, Nike. I don't think a lot of people know the name of the founder. They'll know it by Just Do It. So everything
I don't know the name.
Yeah. See, so every brand always gets some face value over its tag, over its anything. With this thing, Elon Musk was the face of the takeover for Twitter, but a lot of people invested in X. A lot of banks gave him the money to take over X for $44 billion. So, but the backstory, KHC invested in
them. Do you
know
what banks gave him the money?
Every bank, $44 billion is not easy to like muster up. It's
anything
not like I'll
Middle
just
East?
Take out change from my pocket. No, not Middle Eastern banks. Obviously, he's in America, so he asked American banks. And the reports that I've read over the years, the general consensus is very simple, that the banks, again, didn't invest in TikTok. They wanted to curry favor with Musk because they know Musk is who Musk is. He's a crazy businessman. He's a crazy genius businessman who, whatever he touches, he's turning it into gold. So those banks were like, okay, we'll give him the money, like, and he can do it, but later we'll find like something else to do with him.
Yeah.
Other business deals. He'll put his money
and
here.
And he is a genius. Like, even his mom just recently, Mae Musk, she sat down with Enes Buhash.
Yeah.
And, you know, she went on to say, like, my son Elon Musk, like, you know, he's her genius. He's the genius of the family. And, oh my God, that interview was so interesting, Majid. You know that, you know what she was saying in the interview? She was like, you know, at the point where I divorced my husband, honestly, I was just happy that I was not being beat up. And I was like, and so it's like when, and so when you take a look at that, what she said to Enes Buhash, and you take a look at her son and what he became, you know, it really makes you think that, honestly, like Elon Musk, everything that he's done it despite the odds that were placed against him and placed against his family and his mother Mae when they were growing up. So his story is so interesting. Look into that look into Enes Buhash's podcast. I love it. It's one of my favorites.
Monify are also doing an episode. They teased it yesterday and she gave a lot of, she was actually one of the speakers, like in a fireside chat, someone was interviewing her. She gave a lot of insights into who actually Musk is. A mother knows best.
Of course.
That's the main idea.
Of
and a mother knows their son
and her
more
personality.
Than
it's so infectious. Yeah. It's so
and
infectious.
The funny part is I never knew about this Mae Musk, that she was a model as well and she's an entrepreneur herself. So I guess the idea of entrepreneurship comes from there. But coming back to Kingdom Holding, they invest in everything. Another part of the story was that the CEO, not Prince Al-Waleed, he's like the founder and executive chairman something. The CEO is some other guy, I forgot the name completely.
Yeah.
And he said that the guy also asked him a question about crypto.
Yeah.
And he was like, sorry, not investing in crypto, because Prince Al-Waleed believes in Warren Buffett's philosophy that don't buy anything or don't invest in anything that you can't use. So he's like, we can't use crypto right now because it's very like niche. Some countries, some areas, some shops only allow it. So he's like, we're not investing into that.
But you know, Muhammad Al-Abbar said that too, by the way.
Yeah.
I was watching a clip and he was saying, he was like, don't do anything you don't understand.
Yeah.
And by the way, I stand on that philosophy. There is never anything I speak on, Majid, that I don't, like, if I don't understand something, I won't even say one word about it. If, like, my understanding is 70%, I'm not opening my mouth. Because I don't want to mislead people. Yeah. I don't want to say anything wrong. But, you know, back to Prince Al-Waleed bin Talal and how, you know, his kingdom holding company is interested in purchasing TikTok. You know, Majid put forward the argument that, you know, he's investing into Musk. But what's so interesting is taking a look at the relationship that Trump and Prince Al-Waleed bin Talal have with each other. You know, in 1991, when Trump almost went bankrupt, Saudi Prince Al-Waleed bin Talal, he stepped in and he saved the day and he bought his princess yacht for $20 million. And he did it again, by the way, years later. He purchased... He joined other investors in taking the Plaza Hotel from Trump for $325 million.
Yeah.
So seeing the way that these people are interconnected, it really makes you think that in the end of the day, it's honestly a small circle. Because Trump is all the way in the U.S., and then you have Prince Al-Waleed bin Talal, who's in Saudi Arabia. You know, recently he said in an interview when Trump was shot, you know, he was almost assassinated. I was in Riyadh. No, really, he said that. And so it's interesting to me because it honestly makes me think that all these billionaires, Majid, they're all just one small circle.
Yeah.
It's just a small circle and they all know each other.
And the funny thing, yesterday we were also talking about it. So either they're very good friends, like they'll have business dealings in billions and trillions, and on just the word, Musk will be like, yeah, I'll give you $2 billion, $10
billion, and Prince Al-Waleed will be like, and easy.
But then there's egos involved. You remember, we talked about Sam Altman. I don't know. We talked about it yesterday. It's a very interesting thing that a lot of people, I asked 2-3 people just like walking by in the office, like, do you know OpenAI? Musk was also like the founder. When they started OpenAI, Musk was one of the founders. People like, no, we didn't know.
And so keep it's in the mind, OpenAI created ChatGPT.
Yeah. Like X, when Musk bought it, everyone was talking about Musk. No one talked about the investors behind him, like KHC, Prince Al-Waleed. Mm. Likewise, OpenAI, anyone says that name, you remember two things. ChatGPT, Sam Altman.
Mm.
So Musk, I think he had an ego problem. Like, oh, sorry, this guy is getting all the limelight in this thing. I'm moving out. And I personally feel that saying that I'm moving out because I want to focus on Tesla, it was just him saying that, oh, sorry, he's getting the limelight, I'm moving out.
Yeah, and OpenAI.
Because I want the limelight on everything.
OpenAI, just for context for you guys, it was founded in 2015.
Yeah.
And it was actually founded by a bunch of people, Sam Altman, Musk, I don't remember the other names, but they were tech people. And what ended up happening is 3 years later, Musk actually left the company to focus on Tesla and, you know, electrical vehicles. You know, he had a lot of ambitions to include AI in that, so he left. But obviously, after he left, you know, Altman was a genius. You know, he gave us all ChatGPT. He gave us all ChatGPT, and you know, I definitely do think that from Musk's part, there is some regret there. But you know what I'm honestly seeing? I'm seeing Prince Al-Waleed bin Talal playing into the same game.
Yeah.
Because what are we noticing now? When you control the media, you control everything. And that's the kind of power that Musk attained. By having X, he has a very high level of control. And I think Al-Waleed, like, he's going after that. But he has had that before. You know, he has the NBC.
Yeah.
But now he's going on a bigger scale, going for TikTok. And TikTok, it's like, oh, I love that app. It's so special to my heart. No, really, it's so dear to my heart.
The very first memory of TikTok for me is a lot of the biggest content creators, YouTube, Instagram, all these guys. When TikTok came, actually the USP that I think TikTok is, that it gave access to a very lay man to produce content. Instagram was very niche. People liked visuals and all that stuff. A normal person can't do it. TikTok gave them that access. They're like, these are the effects, use it. So it actually gave access, and also they push your video themselves. Insta doesn't do that. TikTok itself pushes it to a few people. Those people, on the basis of those 100, 150 first people, if they like and share and comment, then TikTok pushes it more. So TikTok also has this advantage. It pushes your content itself. We had TikTok, we have TikTok meetings here in Lovin and Augustus. We talked to them. I was part of one of the meetings, and it is actually coming from a TikTok person that they push your content for the first 100, 150 users to test it. So as soon as you start getting likes, TikTok algorithm understands that yes, this is good content, and it forwards it. So that's the good part. That is why people love TikTok, because the platform itself wants your video to be pushed.
I feel like it acknowledges everything. Yeah. I feel like that's not always a possibility.
With Insta, you've seen, we've talked about, we talk about a lot of stuff when we're off air as well. That Instagram is very difficult to build
now. It's so annoying.
Organically, people will buy followers, people will boost their posts because they have the money, and they'll just build up millions of followers. But it all comes down to engagement. Mm. If you're growing organically, your engagement will be way, way, way better than people who are not using the right means to grow. So yeah, we'll grow as well. We'll have 1 million someday as well.
Hopefully,
if you guys follow us, you're listening to us, go to Instagram, right? Smashy Business, follow us.
Hopefully, we hit 100K this year. But anyways, for our final topic of the day, Phoenix Group, a blockchain and crypto solutions company listed in Abu Dhabi, has signed an 80 megawatt power purchase agreement in Ethiopia, marking its debut in the African market. Now, what we're seeing here is that Phoenix, it's moving into Bitcoin mining, and it's moving into it in Ethiopia and in Africa. This is, I think that this is very interesting. And just recently, I remember, you know, the UAE was actually, it was actually coined as the top investor in Africa out of all countries. So when I take a look at this, it comes as no surprise to me.
The main thing is, see, crypto mining has become very difficult. There's only limited cryptos. Sorry, we've moved towards crypto from business, but crypto is becoming mainstream, so we should talk about it a little. And we'll have our crypto show soon enough. I'm trying to get, most probably we'll get it one day, because we have Smashy Crypto. Follow that also. So yeah, the main thing is, crypto mining has become very difficult because Bitcoin has been mined to an extent like 85% capacity. And after that, you need supercomputers actually to mine more Bitcoin. And some other coins which came with mining capabilities. Otherwise, they just launched 2 million coins and you can just buy them. Mm. But still, there are a lot of cryptos in the market which you can mine actually. So that is why they want to do it. So they've created this company, Phoenix, and they're trying to do it. Let's see. Obviously, we've been talking about AI data centers for a long time now. But before that, the biggest energy consumers were mining setups. Mm. Because mining setups, they're like a whole room of servers and PCs and everything, which are trying to mine coins. And now AI data centers are that thing. So let's see. It's a good thing that it's a very short, very sweet story, but it's very important to know, because they are not only relying on their power generation, the UAE, they're trying to find power from areas nearby. Mm. And the good thing is, this investment goes into Africa, and African countries also gain something out of it. Yeah. That was the like sweet part for me, that they've invested in a country which has which is under the poverty line. Everyone is under the poverty line. Good initiative.
It is a good initiative. Yeah.
They benefit, the other people benefit.
And that's, it's also, I think, even much more than that, Majid. It's, you know, we've been taking a look at these business dealings for a while now. I haven't seen Ethiopia's name.
Yeah.
I haven't seen Ethiopia's name for a while. You know, I've been seeing Egypt, been seeing South Africa, but to see that, you know, big companies like this, you know, they're expanding into Ethiopia, it's really exciting to see. And I really can't wait to see how it actually turns out. And with that being said, thank you so much for watching, everyone. Happy Friday to you all. This is Smashy Business, a Smashy Business production under the Augustus Media Podcast Network. Do make sure to find our newsletter on Smashy TV, and please follow us on all our channels. Have a lovely weekend. Bye.